start at the bottom of Mem Vav Amid Bet. We're continuing along with the sugya, discussing with Elisha. Yesterday we discussed the fact about Leviah had the people of Yericho ben Melaveh, Elisha, then the children would not have been killed by Elisha when they made fun of him, poked fun of him, and he turned around and he killed him. So what happens? It says, when Vatitzena Shtayim Dubim min Hayar, Vatibakna Mehem Arbaim Ushnayim Shnei Yeladim. So then when Elisha looks back at them and curses them with the Shem Hashem, two bears appear from the forest, and they tear apart these children. They kill the 42 children. So Rabbi Shmuel, Chadamar Neis, V'chadamar Neis B'toch Neis. Meaning that, well, how big a miracle do we have here? One of them says it was a single miracle. Another one says there was a double miracle. Manda Mar Neis Yar Havo. There was a forest in that area. Dubim Lo Hayu Alo Havu. There weren't bears. So there, the miracle was that bears showed up in order to kill them. Manda Mar Neis B'toch Neis Lo Yar Hava V'lo Dubim Havo. Right, there was no forest and there were no bears. Right, so the Gemara says, V'lo Hava Dubim V'lo Lehava Yar. Right, so okay. If there's no forest there, he could have the bears come. What do you need a forest to have the bears? So Gemara says, "De biite." This is a very interesting idea. Rashi says, "De biite," that the bears would be afraid to come out. The bears are only willing to attack when they have a place to go back into to hide after they've made their attack. So they would not be willing to make the attack unless they felt safe and had a yar there. Therefore, it was not sufficient to simply have the bears, but you had to have the bears along with a forest in order to facilitate the bears doing their work or doing their killing. So that's the machlokas, whether there was a forest there or not, prior to the time that Elisha comes. So Arba Amar, so this is Parshat HaShavua once again. It's nice, always when it falls out. It's not by coincidence, but Tafiomi. We always get Parshat HaShavua. Amar Rabbi Chanina, Bishvil Arbaim Ushnaim Karbanot, Shikriv Balak Melech Moav, Hufku'u Mi Yisrael Arbaim Ushnaim Yeladim. Because of the schar of the 42 karbanot that Balak offers up in this week's parsha, right? Therefore, there were 42 children of Israel that were killed. I says, "Ini, is that really true?" B'amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, La'olam yasok adam b'torah u'b'mitzvot, afal pi shelo lishma, shmitoch shelo lishma balishma. So we've seen this again earlier on in the Masechta and a number of other places, that a person should be osek b'torah. Question here is whether it's Torah mitzvot, the girsa. There's a girsa question, but our Gemara here has the girsa of Torah mitzvot. Even if you do them for not the right reasons, then nevertheless, you should do them because mishlo lishma, ba lishma. So why is that? Shebishchar arba'im u'shnaim karbanot. Because of the schus of the 42 karbanot. Sheikriv balak melech moab, zacha v'yatzta mimenu root. So he was zocha to have born from him root. So this next line in the Gemara, we've seen this actually before. We've seen this Gemara before. This next line in the Gemara does not appear in some of the other quoted Gemaras or the other places this Gemara appears. Because what? I think it should read Shiatzta Mimena or Shiatzta Mimena. It should be Shiatzta Mimenu Shlomo or David and Shlomo. Shkatuv Bei Elef Olot Yale Shlomo. Meaning that David and Shlomo, who were Makriv, many Karbanot, were descendants of Ruth, and who was a descendant of Balak, who was Makrib Karbanot Shlo Lishma. What does appear in the other Gemaras is the continuation here. Ram Rabbi Yossi ben Choni, Ruth Bito Shal Eglon. Ruth was the daughter of Eglon. Beno Shal Balak, who was the son of Balak Haita. Again, not necessarily literally, but descendants, right? Ruth was a descendant of Eglon, or she could have been a daughter of Eglon, and who was a descendant of Balak. So over here again, what do we have? We have a Gemara has a positive view of the 42 karbanot that Balak brought, a positive view in the sense that Klal Yisrael, it's a benefit, something positive from the Jews happens from this. Shelo lishma, balishma. He brought 42 karbanot, shelo lishma, and he gets a reward, right, that is, that he has someone within Klal Yisrael come that is a positive aspect. So how could you argue that the 42 karbanot he bought ended up with killing 42 children in Klal Yisrael? That's a negative aspect towards Klal Yisrael. So it seems to be a stira. So Gemara says, Tabato miu leklala havi. It's a pretty amazing line in the Gemara. That what was Balak's intentions were to curse the Jews. So both his intentions came true, which is that he wanted to curse the Jews, and 40 Jews, two Jews, or Jewish children were killed because of that karbanot. But also, because he brought the karbanot, shlo lishma, he also got the benefit of that, of the lishma side, that Ruth Hamovia was a descendant of his, who then had David and Shlomo, who were descendants of Ruth. All right, so now it's a good question. I don't have an answer for that. I would just say the Gemara is playing on the 42-42, right? There's the number that is similar in these two instances. I didn't see a direct correlation between the two. Vayomru anshei ha'ir al Elisha. So when he comes to Yericho, the people say to him about the city that hineinu moshav ha'ir tov. We live in a great city. Kashar adoni ra'ed, like you see. Right, but what else? If you look, the problem is that, what do they say? There's a problem. There are two problems in the city. What is that? That the mayim was ra'im. The water was not, right? They had salty water. The water was not potable water. And the eretz mishakelet. And the land consumes the people, or cuts off the people. So the Gemara says, well, what was so good about the city then? What was so good? They said, we live in a great city, but these two things seem to make it, you know, that it wasn't a great city at all. So Amar Rabbi Chanin, chein makom al yoshvav. Right? That a people love where they live. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, shlosha cheinotein. There are three things that find favor in the eyes of the people, even though they're not necessarily good. Chein makom al yoshvav. Right? That the place where a person lives finds favor in his eyes, even though it may not be as maybe bad. It's still, in their eyes, it feels good. Chenisha al ba'ala, right? A woman always finds favor in her husband's eyes. Chena isha is interesting. Rashi quotes over here, tamid al ba'ala, v'afilhi michueret. Even if she is ugly, noseit chen be'enav. He finds her favorable and desirable. And chen mekach al mekcho, right? And the same are lokcho, that someone who purchases something, right, they find what they've purchased to be satisfying, or they're happy with their purchase. There might be, in all these instances, you could argue there might be some cognitive dissonance. A person makes a choice or decision. And by making that choice or decision, once he's made it, then he's going to find the positive aspects of his choice so that he feels good about that which he has chosen. All right. Tanu Rabbanan, Shlosha Chalaim Chala Elisha. Right, so there are three sicknesses that Elisha had. Echad shigira dubim betinokot. One was a result of the fact that he killed the children with the bears. Echad shedachfod gechazi b'shtei yadayim. Another sickness that happened to him was because he pushed gechazi away with two yadayim. We'll see this in a second in the Gemara. Echad shemeitpo. And the final one, which is that he died by. I mean, again, the first two, the Gemara is giving, it's a little non-congruous or incongruous here, because the first two, the Gemara gives the reason why he got sick. The third one is telling you that he died, what the result of what the sickness is. But I think you have to argue, or you have to suggest, that each sickness, this last sickness was because he had to die, so therefore it's also the cause of the last sickness, his dying, because that was why he got sick. Shneamar, how do you know that he got sick three times? It says, Elisha chala, that's one, et chalyo is two, asher yamut bo is three. Maradash, since he got sick three times, two of them are a result of things that he did in his lifetime. The last one was he got sick because he was going to pass away. So Tanu Rabbanan. So this discusses Lo Lamte. It's a very famous line. Gemara Lo Tehe Smol Doche V'Yamin Mikarevet. When you want to chastise or push somebody away, you should push them away with your left hand and V'Mikarevet them and brought them closer with your right hand. And again, of course, to point out that the Gemara always views as even though I'm a lefty, I'll say the Gemara views Yamin to be the strong and the better. Right, so over here, when it says Smol Doche and Yamin Mikarevet, right, it means that the Kiruv should be, that the drawing closer should be greater or more forceful than the pushing away, because you're using the right hand to be Mikarevet and the Smol to be Doche. Lo ki Elisha shedachafo legechazi b'shtei yadav, not like Isha who pushed away Gezachi with both hands. Lo ki Yoshua ben Prachya shedachafo lechad mitamidav b'shtei yadav, not like Yoshua ben Prachya pushed away to one of his Talmidim with two hands. The Gemara is now going to describe these two stories. Elisha Mahi. What's the story of Elisha and Gehazi? Dichtiv, right? This is the famous story by Naaman. Right? Naaman, who has Tzaraas. Elisha cures Naaman from his Tzaraat. Naaman offers to pay or give gifts to Elisha, and Elisha rejects or refuses to take those gifts. After he's left, Gehazi goes and runs after Naaman, and he says to Naaman, you know, two Nevi'im just showed up at my master's house who need to be clothed and need some money. So why don't you give me the stuff? So anyway, Naaman gives him the stuff, and sends back messengers with him. Of course, Gehazi pockets the money and the clothing. He didn't intend it. And now he comes back. So this is Vayomer Naaman, Hoel Kach Kikaraim. No, he pressed him to take 2 talents of silver, to take the silver back, Uchtiv. And then when Gehazi comes back, he goes before Elisha, and Elisha says to him, where were you? Gehazi says, I wasn't anywhere. So Vayomer Elav, Elisha says back to Gehazi, Loli Bihalach, right? Didn't my heart or my spirit went along with you? Kasher Afach Ish Me'al Emer Kavto, when a man climbed off or jumped off his chariot, Likratecha, right? Who is that? That was Naaman, who was going to greet Gehazi when he showed up. Ha'et Lakachat at the Kesef, was it the time to take money? Lakachat Bigadim and clothing, Vizetim, olives, Kramim, vineyards or grapes, Vitzonu Bakar Vadim Shvachot. So these 8 items that a Gehazi took from Naaman. Did he really take all these items? Right. All it says in the pasuk before, when Gehazi went to Naaman, he only took kesef ubigadim de ushakil. He only took clothing and money. He didn't take all these other items. So what's Elisha talking about? All these 8 items. So Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bota Shai Elisha Osek b'Shmona Shvatzim. He was learning Perek Shmona Shvatzim. He was learning the Indian of Shmona Shvatzim, and Elisha was learning this with Gehazi. Amlo Rasha Higia Eight Litol Schar Shmona Shvatzim. That you now took the reward for your limud haTorah b'olam hazeh. So that's why Elisha enumerates 8 items that Gehazi took to indicate that this was his reward for learning Shmonat Tzurim, for learning his Torah. Vitzarat. Then the pasuk says, he says, Elisha says to Gehazi, Vitzarat Naaman tigbak b'chov zarachah le'olam. That you will have the tzaras of Naaman. You and your children forever will have that tzarat. Then we have the famous, right? We have famous of Torah. Right, oh, it's famous because it is Haftorah. Right, there were 4 people who were Mitzoraim outside the city. Right, this is when the city is under siege. Right, and these 4 Mitzoraim are out there, and they're debating whether they should go back and they can't go into the city. Should they throw themselves to the Ashur, right, to the army that's encamped out there because they have no choice? When they get there, everything is gone. The army is gone and everything's left. Right, so then they come tell a message to the city that everybody should come out that the victory, right, Hashem had protected the city. So who are these 4 Mitzoraim? Amar Rav Yochanan, Zeh Gehazi u'Shloshet Banav. So Gehazi and his 3 children. Vayelech Elisha Damesek. Right, so then Elisha goes to Damesek, to Damascus. Why does he go? Lama Alach? Why did he go to Damesek? Amar Rav Yochanan, Shalach lechziro leGehazi b'tshuva. He went to Damesek to get Gehazi back, to be machzir him in tshuva. Right, velo chazar, and Gehazi did not return. Amalo chazor b'cha, he says, do tshuva. Amalo kach mikublani mimcho. This is what Gehazi says. I learned from you. Kol mi shechata v'achti et harebim ein maspikim le'edot aso tshuva. Anybody who sins and causes others to sin, he will not have the ability to do tshuva. So my avid, I mean, we know the sin of Gehazi. We know what the chait of Gehazi was, but we don't know what is it that he's machti et harebim. So Igadami Evin Sho Evet Talalo Lakhatati Ravam. They mido ben Shemaim Larit. So the Agalim, right? Yeravam set up 2 Agalim, right? 1 in Dan and 1 in Beit El, that became the Avodah Zarah, or the quintessential Avodah Zarah, placed the Mikdash for Malchi Yisrael. So this Gehazi set up a magnet that suspended the Egel up in the air. So it made it look like it was, you know, it had powers to it. That's one possibility what he did wrong. Vigadamri, Shem Chakak La Puma. He wrote the Shem Hashem and placed it in the mouth of the eagle. Vaita Umerat Anochi V'lo Yelecha. And the eagle would speak up to speak about the first 2 dibrot. So again, he did something that caused people to attribute powers or godliness to the Agalim. Vigadamri, the last possibility is Rabbanan Dacha Mikamei. He used to stop. He was the bouncer. He used to stop the Rabbanon from getting access to Elisha. Dichtiv, it says, after Elisha pushes away Gehazi, it says, V'emiru b'nei anivim, Elisha, inena makom asher anachnu yushvim sham lifnecha tzar mimenu. The place that we're living in is too small now. We don't have enough space to live. Bichlal, da'adin lo avedochik. Until that point, it wasn't too small. Why wasn't it too small until that point? Because Gehazi was kicking out everybody. He was not letting them get there to come into the school of Elisha. So only once Gehazi left would all the people come in. So he had been at that time, or until that point, stopping the Rabbanan from accessing Elisha. So one of these 3 items, again, 3 items that the Gemara is enumerating, that he was machti at the Rabbim, And since he was machtiyat arabim, he believed they must bekim biyado lasot tshuva. So this is the case of Elisha, that Elisha did wrong, was that he pushed away Gehazi b'shtei yadayim. Because he pushed him away b'shtei yadayim, he was unable to, again, bring him back, or to rescue him, to have him be... Right, the Gemara says that also by Isha Shunamit. When Isha Shunamit comes, after Elisha had given her the child, and then the child dies, she comes to Elisha to beg for him to come back. Before he comes there, Gehazi pushes away the Isha Shunamit. So the Gemara there says that he inappropriately pushed her away. So again, Gehazi's behavior was considered, not appropriate in more than one instance. And then, you're right. I mean, not the Gemara reads it negative. Elisha says to leave her alone because she's Tsarla. There's something wrong. I mean, obviously, it's clear that something wrong for her. But I would point out, you asked, which is an interesting question, what's the connection? Naaman over there says to Elisha when he goes back, he says, now I'm convinced that there's no God besides the God of Israel. But then Naaman has to go back to his king. He has to go back to where he's from. And over there, he says that he has to worship the Avodah Zarah, because where he comes from, he's going to be forced to worship the Zarah. He says, don't get mad at me. I'm going to bow down, but I'll have in mind that it's not Avodah Zarah. So it's very interesting in contrast to Gehazi. Meaning that here is Naaman, who is, right, worshiping Avodah Zarah, but doing it in a manner, right, which is saying, I'm really not worshiping it. On the other hand, here you have the Agalim here, which are supposedly replacing Hashem, that Gehazi is helping to, right, promote Avodah Zarah in Klal Yisrael. So I think that might be the interesting contrast between the behavior of Gehazi in the context of Naaman. He never mentions that he has Nevuah, but it's clear that he's Mishamesh Elisha. Your question is, how could Gehazi, right, be a Talmid of Elisha if he was, he was basically his, Iker Talmid, right? He's Misharet Elisha. How could it be that Gehazi was one who was Misharet Elisha if he was, quote-unquote, such an evil person? That's your question, I think, right? And so I guess the answer is that, that people's potential, I mean, as we see many times, that the higher person goes, the easier it is to fall, or the more the temptation there is to fall. And that at least probably Gehazi had the possibility, the potential to be great, but he fails, in that greatness. Good question. When I was preparing the daf, you have to assume that he did this later, meaning that the Agalim, Yeravam, they're not contemporaries. Yeravam and Elisha and Gehazi are not contemporaries. So this Gehazi did this. The Agalim were there for many generations. So all the kings of Israel, they're there. So he went ahead and improved the Avodah Zarah by adding in the magnet later on. All right. So now, Yeshua ben Prachya Mayhi. So what is the Indian of Yeshua ben Prachya? Kedahava kakatil Yanei Malkul Rabbanon. So this is a famous story in Kiddushin where Yanei Malkul is killing out all the ugly Rabbanon. Shimon ben Shechtach atminu achte. So Shimon ben Shechtach, whose sister was married to Yanei, she protected him and put him away, hid him away. Yeshua ben Prachya azal arak l'Alexandria shel Mitzrayim. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Prachya goes down to what we know was a very large Jewish community in Alexandria of Mitzrayim. He runs away to Alexandria of Mitzrayim. Ki hava shalma, once there was peace, meaning that things had quieted down and Yanai was not intent on killing all the Rabbanan. Shalach le Shimon ben Shetach. So Shimon ben Shetach sends a cryptic message to Yeshua ben Prachya telling him to come back. The question is, why did Shimon ben Shetach have to send a cryptic message if it already was a peaceful time? It's interesting. Mani Yerushalayim, Mini Yerushalayim Yer HaKodesh. This message is from the city of Yerushalayim Yer HaKodesh. L'cha Alexandria, or Lach Alexandria Shel Mitzrayim. To you, the city of Alexandria Mitzrayim. Achoti, my sister Alexandria. Bali Sharui B'Todech. My husband is living by you. What do you mean, my husband? The Nasi, Yeshua ben Prachya is the Nasi, is my husband. Yerushalayim is making the claim, is living among you. Vani Yoshevet Shomima. And I am living desolate, meaning or bereft. I don't have my husband. So Amar, so Yeshua ben Prachya understood the message of Shimon Shatach, Shmamina, Havalei Shalma, that things were okay. Ki ato, so he comes back, Akol Haush Pizza. He stops in an inn on the way back. Kam Kamayu Shapir, they got up in front of him, Shapir, I left out the word Bikara, Rashi doesn't have that in his Girsa. Avdele Yikara Tuva, they did great kavod for him. So they stood up for him, and they gave him great fanfare and kavod for Yeshua ben Prachya in this inn. So he went ahead and he was singing the praises of the hostess, right? That they had treated him appropriately and she had wonderful midot, so on and so forth. Rebbe, what do you mean this hostess is so nice? Her eyes, Rashi said, trutot. These are one of the mumim. Trutot are agulot. They're not. They're circular. Her eyes. Meaning that her appearance is not beautiful. So how come you're mishtabeachim? So obviously there was a mismatch over here. They're speaking about apples and oranges, right? Clearly, Yeshua ben Prachi was talking about her midot, right, and her actions, and this Talmud is talking about her looks. Samalei Rasha, b'kach atosek. What are you doing looking at married women for? What are you focused on her looks? This is not what I'm discussing. Apik arba mea shipure. He took out 400 shofarot, v'shamte koyoma, and he put them into, right, excommunication each day. Ato the kamei, or v'shamte. I'm sorry, v'shamte, yeah, right, shamte. Koyoma ato the kamei, v'lo kible. Each day he went beforehand back to Yeshua ben Brachia to have him accept him, and he would not accept him. Yom achad avakari kriyat shema. One day Yeshua ben Brachia was reading kriyat shema, ato the kamei, avavadate li kibule. He had intent to accept him on that day. Ach v'le biyade. So he signaled to him with his hand. He misunderstood the signal and thought he was pushing him away. Azal, he went ahead, Zakaf Levinta, put up a brick, Palcha, and worshipped it. He went to do Avodah Zarah. Amalei Chazor Bacha, so Rav Shimon Parakeh says, Tamid, do tshuva. So Amalei, Kach Mekublai Mimcha, Kol Achotel, Machti Atarim, Ein Maspikim Yadol, Asot Tshuva. I have that same Kabbalah, right, that whoever is Machti Atarabim does not have the ability to do tshuva. So where was he Machti Atarabim, this Tamid? Damar Mar, Kishef, Vehiseit, Vehidiach, Vechtiat Israel. This Talmud had numerous other side businesses that he ran. He was a Kishef, right? He was a sorcerer, Vehiseit, Vehidiach, that he convinced others to worship Avodah Zarah, Vechtiat Israel. I mean, he was not simply Ovid of Avodah Zarah himself, but he caused problems for others. So Tanya, Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer, that Yetzer, Tinok, Veisha, Teismol docha v'yamin mikarevet. These three items or these three objects, a person should push away with their left hand and be mikarevet with their right hand. So Rashi explains why these three. So what is Yetzer? Yetzer, Rashi says, the Yetzer shall tashmish. This is similar to the Gemara in Sanhedrin and Yoma, where the Sanhedrin tried to be bevatel the Yetzer of tashmish, and then there were no eggs born in Eretz Yisrael. No chickens laid eggs in Eretz Yisrael. So meaning the Yetzer, a person should be mekarvo b'yamin, shelo yikutz b'priya rivyo, so a person should procreate, but he should put it away, push it away with small, so that it shouldn't be his full-time, you know, I mean, it shouldn't be the center of his life or occupation. Tinok, a child, right, what's the story with the child? So Rashi says that you're afraid, pen yivrach, v'yabed et atzmo. It's not clear to me what it means, v'yabed et atzmo. It could be, you know, we know, yabed atzmo ladad would mean that he committed suicide, or yabed atzmo could mean that he leaves the fold, meaning that he will, right, not stay religious. So a person should be mekarev a child, but even if they're chastised them with their right hand, but push them away with their left hand, right, it's a key part of chinuch in general. V'isha, and a woman, so this is Rashi has an interesting line here again, isha v'hi da'ata kala, right, v'im yir defua teitze l'tarbut ra'a. If he puts too much pressure on her, she will go and do inappropriate items or inappropriate things. So again, when a person interacts with these three objects or three people, he must do it in a proper or clever manner. He must bring them close and at the same time when he's chastising them so that they do not feel alienated or pressured, unduly pressured. All right, the new Mishnah here. So the Mishnah is continuing. It's an interesting Mishnah. We'll get through it. Part of the Gemara tomorrow, the part of the Gemara after the Mishnah is a Gemara repeat of a Gemara from Lamed Aleph on the base. So we should be able to go through that quickly. But here, I'll read the Mishnah. I have some comments to make. I'll save some of the comments to later in the Gemara and speak about the Mishnah, some more hashkafic issues with Egla Rufa. Right. If they find the killer before the Egla Rufa is killed, it's totally chulin and it goes out. So Rashi points out this is actually a machlokas tanoim in the Gemara in Krisus, because there's another Tana believes that once you take the Egla Rufa down to the Nachal Eitan, then already it has kedusha or quasi kedusha, and then it has to be it's asur bahana. So this Tana obviously believes that there's no kedusha to the Egla Rufa. Mishener fahe Egla tikaver. Once it's killed, it must be buried because it's bim koma because it's asur bahana. Shall save suffik bata. So even though now they found the killer, but because the whole point of bringing the Egla Rufa is because they had a safek here, mitchilata kipras feka. It was mechaper on the safek. V'halchala, it did its job. If it did its job, you bury the Egla Rufa and that's it, right? But you don't. We don't say just because we found the killer that now all of a sudden the Egla Rufa becomes mutter bahana, or that it doesn't. The rest of the process of Egla Rufa must be. It can be skipped over. So here, from here you see, we spoke about this a little bit, this sounds a little bit like the Shita Taramban, right? We mentioned that the Ramban says that that Egel Arufa is more similar to a Karban Chutz, like a Sayer Mishtaleach, and the Para Aduma. So over here you see this aspect of Kapara that's associated with the Egla Arufa. So Nerfa Egla, V'achakach Nimtza Haoreg. So now if they did the Egla Arufa and they find the Haoreg, Hare Ze Yehareg, this person is killed. So it's an amazing Havamina, right? The Havamina is that the Egla Arufa would be sufficient Kapara that you would not have to kill the killer. The murderer would be let free because of this. So I would say a good parallel to this is something like an Asham Talui. Right, Asham Talui is brought on the Safek, and then if a person's Nolda afterwards, what that the Avera was actually, he brings a Chatas. So Gemara has a Havamin there also, that once a person brings an Asham Talui, maybe he shouldn't have to bring a Chatas afterwards, because the Asham Talui did the Kapara, the work that the Chatas would otherwise do. So you have a similar idea here, right, that the Egla Rufa comes for Kapara, even though it's all a Safek, but that might be sufficient to eliminate the need for Kapara when it comes to when we know the Vadai for the Horeg. Right, so the Gemara mentions that the Asham Talui is to, right, is Kitris, Bifnei Aisirim, right, that it protects you. In the interim, it protects you. And the Gemara in other places says that Safek Yoter Kashemi Vadai, right, which is what I think you're quoting Sha'ol, which is that many times a Safek is worse than a Vadai, because when you're Vadai, you know what to do. A Safek, a person can justify or talk himself out of believing that he has done anything wrong, and therefore doesn't feel the need to do any Kapara. But over here, I would suggest the same interesting aspect again of Kapara associated with the Egla Rufa, because here you see the Gemara has a Havamina that will replace the need to kill the Horeg. So again, it sounds more like the Ramban, or at least like the Ramban, that here the purpose of the Egla Rufa is functioning like a Korban, functioning like a Karpara, where it replaces. How does a Korban work? This is the Ramban Lashitato. A Korban is in place of the person. A person brings a Korban, it's as if he's Makriv, right, himself. To Hashem, it's in place of the person. So too over here, you're going to say the Egla Rufa. What's Pshat and Egla Rufa then? The Egla Rufa is in place of what you're killing the Egla Rufa in place of the murderer. Right? That's it. You're makiv like a karban. You're killing the Egla Rufa instead of the murderer. So that way you have a Havamina that once you've done the Egla Rufa, you won't need to be horeg the murderer. And the Gemara says no, or the Mishnah says no, that even despite the fact that you brought the Egla Rufa, nevertheless, harizei yehareg, the murderer is still killed. Okay, Eid Achad Omer, Ra'iti et Ahoreg, Ve'ed Achad Omer lo Ra'ita. Right, so one Eid says that I saw the murderer, and another Eid says you did not see the murderer. Isha Omer Ra'iti, Visha Omer et lo Ra'it. Right, and one woman says I saw the murder, the other Eid says you did not see it. Havu Orfim, you still go, you have an Eid Demuchashet, right, therefore they still do a Egla Arufa. Eid Achad Omer Ra'iti, Ushnaim Omerim lo Ra'ita. One Eid says I saw it, two Eidim say you did not see it. Hayofrim, they still do the Egla Rufa. Shnaim omrim ra'inu, ve'echad omer lehem lo ri'item. Two say, we saw it. One says, you did not see it. Lo ayofrim, that stops him from doing Arifa. This Mishnah is identical to a Mishnah we had on Lamed Aleph by the Sota. Whether one person saw the Sota, when one eight says she was nitmeit, one eight says she was not nitmeit. One says, right, Isha says she does, one says doesn't. And the Gemara, again, there's going to be a parallel Gemara to that on Lamed Aleph. Mishirabu arotzchanim, betela Egla Rufa. Once the murderers became plentiful, there's Betela Egla Rufa. They no longer did the Egla Rufa. So Rashi over here comments. It's very interesting, Rashi. Rashi says, what's Betela Egla Rufa? Shairima Kirim Behem Mihara Gilbehem Larog. They knew who the murderers were. That these murderers were well known, and since they were well known, it's no longer an issue of not knowing who the murderer is. The murderer is known. We'll see that Rashi's pshat comes out of the Gemara. In the Gemara, I'll talk a little bit more about this, but I think I would have offered an alternative pshat than Rashi does, and I'll explain it when we get to there in the Gemara. All right, Mishaba Eliezer ben Dinai, Utchina ben Prisha Hayanikra, his original name was Tchina ben Prisha, Chazru Likroto ben Haratzchan. They began to call him the son of the murderer, meaning that he was. These were people or well-known murderers at that time. And meaning that's why Mishraba Rotzchanim Betela Egla Rufa, because they were so well known, meaning that they even had names. Mishrabu Amina Afim Pasku Amayim Hamarim. That when the adulterers became plentiful, they stopped using the Mayim Hamarim. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai Hipskikam, who's the one who stopped it? It was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Shenemar Lo Efkod Abnotechem Ki Diznena Vakolotechem Ki Tenafena. I will not punish your daughters when they are like harlots, and your daughters-in-law when they are adulterers. Kihem, and we'll see this. Gemara will talk about the rest of the pasuk and the whole pasuk. Bishemet Yosef ben Yoezer ish treda v'Yosef ben Yehuda ish Yerushalayim, but lu eshkolot. Once they died, the eshkolot were gone. Who are these eshkolot? The Gemara will discuss what an So that's the Bach changes the gears. So very good. That's exactly what the Bach changes the gears to read Yosef ben Yehuda ish treda v'Yosef ben Yochanan ish Yerushalayim, which is similar to the Mishnah in Avot. So that's what the Bach says what you're saying, Shaul. But lo eshkolot, right? What are the eshkolot? The Gemara is going to discuss is something, eshkol, someone who has a kolbo. Everything is in him. And Rashi points out that until their time, there was no machlokas among Chachmei Yisrael, that everything was clear, like it was kinitinatam and Moshe Mitzinai, and they were the beginning of the period of machlokot. Shenemar, ein eshkol lechol, bikura uta nafshi. Yochanan Kohen Gadol hevir hodayata maser. Yochanan Kohen Gadol removed the vidui maser. Afu batel et ha-meorim v'et ha-nukfim. Again, the Gemara discussed what these are. Ad yamav haya patish makeh b'Yerushalayim. Till the time of Yochanan ben, until the kind of Yochanan Kohen Gadol, they used to do work in Yerushalayim on Chol HaMoed. That work was done for Dover HaAveit. But nevertheless, when you work with hammers, it makes a lot of noise. And people would not know that it was Dover Aveit, so that it looked like there was work being done on Chol HaMoed. So he was Mevatel that. Because he was the one who established how to deal with Demai from Amei Haaretz, and therefore there was no need to question that. Again, that's tomorrow's daf. We'll deal with that tomorrow. All right. Tan Rabbanan. Minayin shim ner faha egla, v'achar kach nimsa horeg, she'ain poteretoto. How do you know that once you neref the egla, then you find the horeg, that you don't, you still kill the horeg? So that's in Masay, right? That the only way that the dam will be nichaper is if you kill the one who murdered. I mean, that's not, egla rufa is not sufficient to take the place of the dad. The only way it's nichupar is when the asher shupach bakim dam shofcho, the one who kills must be killed. Right, so now, this Gemara is a parallel, again, it's going to be a parallel to what we saw by Sotah. Time of the Machishle. Halo Machishle. Sounds like only if he disagreed. Halo Machishle, Erechad Naaman. One aid would be believed here by Egla Rufa. We saw a similar thing that Erechad is Naaman by Sotah. Minahani Mile, Tatarabanan, Lodnoda Mihikahu. We do not know who killed him. Hanoda. If Mikahu, if someone knows who killed him, who the murderer is, Afilu Echad Besofolam, lo Yorfim. Then we're not oref him, right? So we had that in the Gemara in Daf Vav. There was machlokes between Rav Yosef and Rav Sheshet. Lagabe, if they're edim besofa olam, if they know about the sota, is that enough to stop the mayim from being bodkim the sota? And we saw that again on Daf Beis and Daf Gimel that Erechad is neman betuma. Erechad is neman betuma because it says the edin ba. So over here it says, if someone knows, that's sufficient, right? Rav Kiva Omer, how do you know if the Sanhedrin saw the murderer, but they don't know who the murderer is, that they don't do Egla Rufa Tamalo, Marv Einenu Lo Ra'u. Because what do they say? They say that we did not see it. But they did see it. So even if they see it, even though they can't identify who the murderer is, if they have seen it, if they are witnesses to it, then they don't do an Egla Rufa. We just said that one aid is believed. This is our mission. This is the exact Gemara from Lamed Aleph. Right? That if there's one aid is Neman, how can another aid come along and be Soter the first aid? Whenever we believe in aid echad, it's the equivalent of two. So the first aid who comes along becomes like two aidim. Then the second aid who comes along, how can he undermine? How can he contradict the first aid? He doesn't stand in the face of two aidim. Samachula, so like the Gemara he does in the Gemara in Lamed Aleph, he amends the mission to read Amachula Tani Loha Yorfim. That in case of Erechad and Erechad, there's no Arifa. Tani Loha Yorfim. They amend the mission to read Loha Yorfim instead of Orfim. Rabbi Chia, just like in the Gemara in Lamed Aleph, Amar Tani Hayorfim. They do the Arifa, and over there he says Shotim, right? That they do give her to drink. So that's why Ula Rabbi Chia Kasha to Ula. What does Rabbi Chia do with the principle of Ula? So Lo Kasha Kan Bavat Achad Kan Bezeh Achar Zeh. Right, that has to do with when the aid is given. If they come at once, then each aid is weighed equivalently. But if the first aid came, and then only afterwards does the second single aid come, the first aid is accepted and becomes like two aidim, and then the second aid will not be valuable, will not have rights against that first aid because he is equivalent of two now. Tanan, we have a Mishnah Erech Haromer Ra'iti Et Ahorei Gushnaim Omrim Lo Ra'it. Right, so two people say, right, Erechad says, I saw him, and two people say, you didn't see him. Are you orphan? So that you would have been orif. Ha chad v'chad lo ayu orfim. So it sounds like if it was one and one, you wouldn't be orfim. To you, to the Reb Chia, that's a question of Reb Chia. So the Talmich, what are you going to do with the next line in the Mishnah? Ema seifa shnayim omrim ra'inu. Two people say, we saw it. Ve'erachad amarein lo ra'itim. Lo ayu orfim, they're not orfim. Ha chad v'chad ayu orfim. So you can't be medayik out of the Mishnah. Ela, misnisa and kula psule edus. Our Mishnah is talking about psule edus. Uka de Reb Chemia. So the principle of Reb Nechemia, damar koma kum shemina Torah erachad, alacha rov deot. Whenever the Torah believed Eidachad, meaning that Eidachad, even a non-kosher Eidut, or Eidut that is not kosher, is believed, then we go after majority rules. Vasu shtei nashim b'ishachad, kishnei nashim b'ishachad. The two women will overrule one man, just like in general, one two men will overrule one man. V'gadamri, so some that say, ko eichadat Eidachad kosher mikara, if we brought an Eidachad in the beginning that was kosher, afilu me'an nashim ke'echad damyan. Afterwards, the 100 women are equivalent to one eid. When the first aid kosher comes, he's equivalent of two. And then 100 women come afterwards, they're only equivalent to one, so the front aid will overrule everybody. So what's our case in our Mishnah? That a woman came first. But so let's learn Reb Nechemia like that. That what? When Rov Deot means that even women can overrule men. So Reb Nechemia, Omer, no. There's a possibility you could explain Reb Nechemia like this. Koma kom shemina Torah eid echad alachacha Rov Deot. Right? Whenever you have Eidachad, you go after Rav Deot. Astu shtei nashim b'isha achat, kishnei anashim b'isha achat. That two women can go up against one woman, just like two men can go up against one man. Avo shtei nashim b'isha achat, ki palgo palgo dami. But two women against one man is like one and one. Meaning that no matter how many psule eidut you have, they're the equivalent of one kosher eid when they go up against the kosher eid. The only time we tell you the majority rules when they're from the same category, either from kosher eidim or non-kosher eidim. But when it comes to mixing between kosher eidim and no kosher eidim, that doesn't work. Then the kosher aid has the equivalence of all the non-kosher aidim. So now the Gemara says, "Vitarte psule edus lamali." Why did the Mishnah have to say two against one twice? If we're talking about psule edus in the Mishnah, it said two beats one. Okay, of course, majority rules. Why do you have to tell us twice the majority rules? So ma'od detema ki hazlin about the rov de'el l'chumra. When do we go after the majority? That's only the chumra. To say, again, depends what you think the chumra is over here. It seems like the chumra would be that we don't bring the egla rufa. About the kula, lo. But the kula not. So the kamash malon, that both the chumra and the kula, we do say that the majority rules when it comes to psule edut. All right, now, mishirabu arotzchim. Right, when the murderers became plentiful. Tarabon, mishirabu arotzchanim b'teila egla rufa. Then b'teila egla rufa lefi she'ina ba'a el ala safek. The only reason that the egla rufa comes is because of a safek. But now, right? That now there's no longer a safek. Why? Because when the the people are no longer afraid. They murdered in the open, right? There was no necessity for Egla Rufa because Egla Rufa comes from the safek in a case where we don't know who the murderer is. If it's so obvious who the murderer is, Rashi repeats what he said on the Mishnah. If it was obvious who the murderers are, then you can't make an argument, right, that you need an Egla Rufa anymore. So the Egla Rufa is not necessary anymore. Right, this is Rashi believes, what? You can't be mevatel a mitzvah sasei min haTorah. You have egla rufa, which is a mitzvah sasei. The only reason you can be mevatel a mitzvah sasei, if there's within the halachic framework, there's a reason to say, don't bring an egla rufa. What's that? When we know who the murderers are. If we know who the murderers are, then there's the egla rufa is no longer a valid, right, process. Because the process is only used when there's a safek and we don't know who the murderers are. All right, I will come back to this again and offer an alternative pshat after we read the next Gemara. Mishirabu anu afim. Right, when the Noafim became plentiful, again, the Mayim Amarim did not work. Tarabanan, v'nikai ish me'avon, that the man must be clean of avon. Bizmacha ish menuka me'avon amayim bilkim et ishto. Right, when the man is clean of avon, then the waters work to check his wife. En ish me'kamuka avon amayim bilkim et ishto. Then the waters do not check his wife. V'omer, and it says, this is different than our Mishnah. Our Mishnah quotes it Shnei Amar, because it says, this pasuk, here the Gemara brings it as v'omer, it's a secondary proof. Lo efkod al benotechem ki tiznena. I will not punish your daughters, right, when they are going out biznus, when there's znus around. My vomer, what does it mean vomer? The chite ma'avon didei in dibinei v'nate lo, that only when it's his sin do we say that the ma'im does not work, the ma'im amrim do work. But when it's his children's sin, the ma'im would be bodeg, Right? Then the Tashma, lo afkod abnotechem. Why will I not punish your daughters? Kitiznena. Lo afkod abnotechem, kitiznena, vakodchem, kitiafena. Why would I punish your daughter's nusr? Why would I punish your because of your daughter's nusr and your daughter-in-law's adultery? Meaning that even the avon of the children will be problematic for being mefakeh the avon for checking, doing the mayim ha-marim. V'chitayim avon eshet ish in, if I would think it only has to do with the avon of an eshet ish, avon pnuya lo, but if he acts in a manner, even though he's not being adultery, but he's acting in a manner of znus, right? Tashma, kihem im hazonot iparedu, they consorted with the zonot, vima k'deshot izabechu, and they sacrificed with the k'deshot. Meaning that just being associated, mingling, and being with these types of people is enough to say that this person, Hashem, will not be pukeid avon. Umay, and the pasuk concludes, v'am lo yavin yilabet, and the nation does not understand, right, when they stumble, meaning that they don't understand that if they do not act appropriately, Hashem will not be able to punish and be pukeid avon. Right, so he says, if you guys act appropriately, meaning with regards to the area of Bia, then your women will be checked. Otherwise, the waters will not check your wife. So if you remember now, the Mishnah on Chavchet, the Gemara on Chavchet, the Mishnah on Chavchet, brings down this idea of Inikai Ish Me'avon, that only when the man is clean of Avon does the Mayim not Bodkim. So Rashi over there on Daf Chavchet, right, this was a daf and Shabbos daf, so I think Rabbi David mentioned this also at that time. But Rashi on Chavchet says, what's the avon of the ish? Right, the avon of the ish is that he sleeps with her after nistara, after there's been stira, he has bia with her, and that's the chet. So that's what Rashi mentions. The Rambam, on the other hand, says no. The Rambam says that it's not only that the chet of the baal with regards to specifically this sotat, v'nistara, and then he's kinela v'nistara, and then she's asur to him and he has bia with him, but any bia surah that the husband has will be cause for the mayim not to be bodkim. Then the Ramban ala Torah expands it and says, no, that even when it comes to his children's behavior, even the behavior of his children of being znus, bizonot, that they will also, what? That will prevent the mayim for bodkim. The Ramban has the most expansive view, and the Ramban is definitely being someich on our Gemara here, from the Pasuk from Hosea, right? That based on the Pasuk on Hosea here, the Gemara seems to indicate that there will be punishment that there will be no punishment of the Mesota when the person doesn't act appropriately or when his children do not act appropriately. So I'm just going to read you the Ramban on the Torah. It's a very, very, it's a great Ramban. The Ramban here argues on the Ibn Ezra about a point, but then he points out here that Sota is the only mitzvah in the Torah that involves a nace. Right? It's a miracle. So why does it involve a nace? What does this mean? He says here, there's no other mitzvah that has such a nace associated. But only works. You only have this miracle happen when the people are doing what Hashem wants. Ki chafetz tamad tzidko. Why would Hashem perform such a miracle? Because the people are acting appropriately. He doesn't want these women to act inappropriately like the other nations. To clean B'nai Yisrael from any mamzerus. So the Shekhinah can rest upon him. As soon as the people behaved inappropriately, the Mayim Amarim didn't work anymore. Why? Because the whole purpose of the Mayim Amarim is a nace to help an Israel remain pure so the Shekhinah could be Shora on them. But if they're not acting appropriately for the Shekhinah to be Shora, then there's no need for the Mayim Amarim to work. Right? Because he quotes the pasuk from Hosea that we have in our Gemara over here. It says, V'eina katuv omer shetiena nashim nofot p'turot min avon. Doesn't say that the women who do adultery are going to be patur. All it says is, Shvalim noafim rakshli asebehena nesa gadol azeh. They just will not be entitled to this miracle of the Mayim Arumim, Lichvodam, Uliotam, Am Kadosh. Right? Behem Lo Yavinu Betovazot. They don't understand this great gift that Hashem gave of the Nase of the Mayim Arumim, Liochav Tzuba. So that's why it says, V'nemar V'am Lo Yavin Yilabet. That's what we just quoted, the Pasuk. They don't understand how it works. The whole purpose of the Mayim Arumim is a privilege to them. If they don't act to deserve that privilege, then they aren't entitled to have the Nase of the Mayim Arumim. Then v'zetam, because of this, amru v'nikai ish me'avon. B'zman she'ish menukai me'avon, mayim mekutim et ishto. So now the Ramban quotes three shitot with regard to this. What does this mean that he has a clean slate? That he didn't have beer with her once he was kind of love nistra. Who's that? That's Rashi's pshat. He's quoting the Rambam now. If the man did anything wrong in his whole life, it will not check him. This is the Ramban Shita, the third Shita, which is what? And he did not chastise them or check them. Why? The whole purpose of the Maim Amarim is a privilege. If you do not act or you do not deserve that privilege, you will not be entitled to that privilege. So based on this, I want to explain this. How I do explain the same thing by the Rotzkim. Mishirabu Rotzkim be Israel, then they did not bring an Egla Rufa. What does that mean? Mishirabu Rotzkim be Israel, what is the Egla Rufa? If you look like the Ramban, that the Egla Rufa is a form of kapara, right, either for the Horeg or a kapara for the people, like the Eben Ezra says, then the Egla Rufa is a privilege. It's an entitlement that Hashem gives us the ability to be nechaper, even though we can't find the murderer. But that privilege is only given when people give erech to life, meaning that there aren't rotzkim running around. When you have rotzkim running around, then the people don't deserve this anymore. The whole, right, there's a breakdown in the framework of society that people don't value life anymore. If they don't value life anymore, then we're not going to give them that privilege of having the Egla Rufa. And so therefore, when the Rotzkim became plentiful, then the Egla Rufa was batel because they no longer had the right to that privilege of the Egla Rufa, just like by the Me'amarim. By Shirabu and Noafim, they were not entitled to the privilege of the Me'amarim to be bodek. All right, I'm just going to continue here. The Gemara now has a number of instances of things that happened. Once something happened, something else stopped. So now we're going to continue in the Gemara. Mishirabu balei hana'a, when people became hedonistic, nit abdu adinim, nit kakalu amasim inoach ba'olam. Then the din became unjust, and their actions were inappropriate, ve'inoach ba'olam, and there was no rest in the world. What does that mean? So Rashi explains this has to do with dayanim. Because the Dayanim became Balei Hana'ah, they did not investigate. They weren't willing to do the extra work to make sure that the din was done properly. They were resting on their laurels. Mishirabu ro'o panim badin. When the people became, you know, favorites, playing favorites in the din, batel lo taguru pasak lo takiru. These other two items also mean that lo takiru panim mishmat is that you should not pick Dayanim inappropriately. Lo taguru mi pneish is that you should not be afraid of anybody. So I don't know if it means that the result is, means since if you are, right, if you play favorites in din, then you are going to be afraid of the litigants, mean lo taguru pneish, that you will be afraid of the litigants, or, again, that people acted being fearful of the litigants, mean that all of these things fell apart. Ufarku ol shamayim, they removed the ol shamayim, natnu aleihem ol basar vadam, and they became subjects of the people. Mean that since they didn't put themselves above the, right, mundane or the aspects of the lay people, meaning that they were convinced or they were pressured by the people to do something, therefore they were no longer subject to the O Shamayim, but rather subject to O Basar Vadam. Mishrabu Locheshe Lichishot Bedin, those that whispered in the din. What is that? These are lawyers who plead the cases before the judges. Right, so that's the lawyers who plead the cases before the judges. Rabu Charon Af Bi Israel Niskalka Shlina. Hashem got upset and the Shkina went away. Shinimim Shinemar. It says Elukim Nitzav Badat Kel, Bekerav Elukim Ishbot. So when is it? When do you have Elukim Nitzav Badat Kel? When do you have that? Bekerav Elukim Ishbot. Right. So when there is Elukim Nitzav Badat Kel, when the din is done properly, right? Then Bekerav Elukim Ishbot. Then the Hashem will be there for the Shvita, but for the Shofet, mean there will be Shechina in Israel. But if the din is not done properly, where the lawyers are going and speaking to the judges, then there will not be a Shechina Shor in Israel. Mishirabu achrei bitzam libam. Right, this is from Perakin Lamed Gimel in Yechezkel. In Yechezkel here, it's the famous parak where the palit comes, the person comes and tells of the destruction of the city of Yerushalayim. I mean, it's the turning point in Sefer Yechezkel. Until that point, Yechezkel is predicting the destruction of Yerushalayim. Once the palit comes and tells of destruction of Yerushalayim, then Yechezkel launches into Nechama, telling that it'll be okay, and he talks about the future. Now, achrei bitzam libam, they went after what? Bitzam libam, after the ways of their heart, whatever their desires were. Holeich, rabu omrim l'ra tov l'tov ra. People did not know how to differentiate between good and bad anymore. Bishar rabu omrim l'ra tov l'tov ra, rabu hoy hoy. That's actually in the psukim there in Yishayahu. It says, oh, woe, woe, woe is to the one who does this, woe is to the one who does this. So all these woes were multiplied when people did not know how to distinguish between good and bad. Mishrabu Moshe Harok. When people used to work on their saliva, which was an issue of arrogance. Rabu Yehirim, people were arrogant. The people there were not enough patience for people to be talmidim. The Torah looked for people to learn it, meaning that it doesn't find a place for people to learn it. When the people arrogance became plentiful, the daughters of Israel, the Jewish girls, would marry the arrogant people, the conceited people. That's what people look at, the externalities. They look only at the face and the conceitedness, and they marry this. And the verse says, a person who acts in a conceited or arrogant manner, even his own family cannot take him, can't handle him. Gever yahir lo yinveh, velo yinveh. Right, a person who is arrogant, velo yinveh. So the Gemara says, lo yinveh, afilu benaveh shelo. He will not have rest, or he will not have a place to go and live, even in his own house. Meaning he will not find peace in his own house because he is arrogant. So the Gemara answers up, mikara kafzaleh. In the beginning, the women are attracted to this conceitedness or arrogance. So the sof mitzalalayu. But after they live with it for a while, it wears on them, and then they will not accept it anymore. Once the judges or the Talmidei Chachamim would give over to the businessmen to work on their behalf, give them money to invest on their behalf, then there became much bribery, having the Mishpat be deterred, and goodness was left. So again, because they relied so much on the Balabatim to provide them their livelihood, then they became subject to Shochad and the ability to be convinced or pushed into. When there became these people that the judges looked at the favors that were done for them by others, right? Or that, you know, you did this for me, you pat me on my back, I'll pat you on your back. Rabu Isha Yashar ben Avya said, then people no longer respected the judges or the Talmidei Chachamim, right? Shefelim hukbu'u, that those that were downtrodden were lifted up, Agvoyim Ishbalu, and the great ones were left, Umachuta Azla, right? That the Malchus went away, Vinavla, and it was mitnavelet, it was deteriorated, right? Because they no longer had respect. Once they know that they can bribe or they can convince the judges to do what they want, if they do a tova for them or if they speak to them nicely, then they no longer felt, right, compelled to give them respect. Misharabu tzarei ha'ayin, when people came miserly, v'tofrei teref, and those that stole from the aniim, rabu mamtzei lev. The people closed their hearts. The kofsei yadayim lehilavot. They did not lend anymore. Avru amash katuv b'Torah. They violated what's written in the Torah. Yisham lecha pen tiyav mibleyal. That you will think that, you know, kavash not the sheva, and they don't want to lend anymore to the aniyim. Misharaboy nituyot garon misakrot einayim. Right, these are two of the things that are found in the alchets in Yom HaKippurim. Tiyot garon, walking with an outstretched neck, right, in an arrogant manner, misakrot einayim, with winking eyes, or, you know, indicating with one's eyes. Rabu mayim amarim, there was a ni, excuse me, for the mayim amarim, meaning that there was much ni'uf that was going on, that they were sneaking this going on behind, and they needed to have to do the mayim amarim. Elisha pasku, they needed it, but they didn't have it anymore, because merabu amin afim. And so again, that there was a need for the Maimarim because everybody was Mekaneh, the second one, but then they had no way to prove it because they couldn't use the Maimarim anymore. When people start to accept gifts, their lifespans decrease. The one who hates gifts will live a long life. When the Zuchei Halev means that they don't listen carefully, they don't listen carefully to their Rabbanan or the Shiurim, but they think they can do it all from themselves, from their own logic or their own intelligence. Rabu machlokot be Israel, the machlokas increased in Israel because they no longer listened carefully. They thought they could do it on their own, and obviously they were not able to do that. And therefore, Rabu machlokot be Israel. Mishrabu tamidei shamay vehilel shalushim chur kol torcham. When there became lots of tamidim shemahel who do not mishamish the rebbeim properly, Rabu machlokot Israel again. Machlokas increased in Israel. This is a classic all the time that many of the gedolei Israel who had major arguments always respected each other. The problem came with their tamidim. Once their Talmidim came about, they were unable to deal with the differences between them. They weren't able to do it, l'shem shamayim. Nasi Torah k'shtei Torot, and it became Torah like two Torot. Misharabu mekablei tzedakah min ovdei kochavim. When there became those that accepted tzedakah from the non-Jews, hayu Yisrael l'mala v'hem l'mata, Yisrael went up and they went down. Yisrael l'fnim were in front, v'hem l'achor, l'ashon tzagi nohor. Meaning that Yisrael standing among the nations was deteriorated by the fact that they accepted tzedakah from the non-Jews. All right, just last line here. Mishmeid Yosef ben Yoezer, my eshkolot. What is eshkolot? Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, ish shakol bo. someone who has everything in them. Rashi writes, Torah b'amita, v'endofi v'shechacha machloket. They knew it exactly like it was Mitzrayim, and there was no machlokas with that which they said. All right, we'll stop over here. Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. It's a marathon dapim here. Marathon dapim.